Thank the Lord this morning for the song. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord this morning. Very thankful that the Lord knows each and every one of us by name this morning. The Lord knows where all of us are in our spiritual walk this morning. The Lord knows our weaknesses. He knows all of our failures. He knows all of our strengths. He knows our hopes for the future. He knows our dreams and our plans. He knows the disappointments that you have faced in life. He knows the questions and the doubts. But you know that we sing the song, and I don't know that we really sang it much until Brother Tony brought it to our attention. And I will ever tie your name with the song, Brother Tony, but the song that says accept. And the Lord has given all of us an invitation this morning to come to Him just as we are. I'd like to begin over in the book of Esther, and we're just going to summarize, you know, the story of Queen Esther, what led to her becoming queen, the reasons why she became queen, and the purpose that God had for her in her life. But after Ahasuerus' wife had disobeyed him, the king was looking for another wife. And so he sent messengers out, and they looked throughout the whole land looking for the fairest of maidens in the land. So they brought them from all different walks of life. It was not just from the wealthy families. It was not just from one nationality, but they went and they searched for what they thought was the best of the best. And these women were brought into the care of the king's servants. And in verse 12, it said, when every maid's turn in chapter 2, Esther chapter 2, verse 12, it said, now when every maid's turn was come into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Now, there is kind of a vacuum on what the commentators have to say about this passage. But these women, keeping in mind that they were brought from many different walks of life, they were not seen as fit to enter into the presence of the king. They had to go through a purification process. And this was more than just 30 days or 15 days or a month or a couple of months. But this was 12 months of purifying, washing and bathing in, it says, in oil of myrrh. In other words, preparing, getting their skin, trying to purify their skin. One of the commentators, he did mention that, and this would not take 12 months, but he mentioned coming from a lower class, eating certain foods. You know, people that eat certain foods, there's a smell that's associated with that. I was in one of my college classes. There was a people that ate certain kinds of foods, and we would go into this classroom, and the first thing everybody did was say, open up the windows, because there was a smell that was left in the room. And it was something that they ate consistently, and so it came out of their pores of their body. Well, they were purifying these women, and then 6 months, it said, with sweet odors and with other things, beautifying them in the eyes of the world, of the Persians of this time, with cosmetics and jewelry. I've noticed that people that in the Bible, the Lord does not want us to wear cosmetics and jewelry. But at this time, that was seen as beautiful and acceptable to the king. But I notice even today that people that have never worn cosmetics, and then they make a decision to wear cosmetics, usually it doesn't look very good. I'll just have to acknowledge. They normally put on way too much. And they do it in a way that looks what we would term gaudy. It just doesn't look good. Well, they took 6 months in teaching these women how to look beautiful. In other words, we're not going to drag them off the street and present them to the king, but they needed to look as good as they can, how it would be pleasing to the king, and it took time to do that. We find that God elevated Esther above all the women that had brought in, and God favored her. And God had a purpose for her when her people, the Jews, began to be persecuted. And her uncle asked her, go in and beseech the king in behalf of your people. And she sent a message back to her uncle, and I want to read to you the message. It's found in Esther chapter 4, verse 11. She said, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. In other words, this is after Esther had become queen. She was favored amongst the women, but yet her message back was, because according to the Persian laws, no one can come into the presence of the king unless he calls them. And if you come into the presence of the king and you had not been called, you are going to be put to death unless the king held out his scepter to you. You know what fear there must have been on Esther? She fasted, remember? She fasted and prayed, asking for God's favor that when she came into the presence of the king without being called, that he would receive her. Well, you know what kind of trepidation she must have had? Some sleepless nights. Is this going to be the end? Because the king has not called me, but I'm going to step out. And I'm going to go into the presence of the king. In chapter 8, verse 4, Esther came into the presence of the king. And it said, then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther rose and stood before the king. Do you know what a sense of relief? What a sense of just to know that the king has held out a scepter. And when the king held out his scepter, it means something. It means you've been accepted. You're not going to be put to death, but I accept you. Do you know that there is something very beautiful about being accepted this morning? There's something very beautiful and wonderful about knowing that you've been accepted. Last night I was very sick. Vanessa came in. I'd been meditating and just laying there. And she came in. I said, Vanessa, I said, I accept you. And she said, I accept you too. And we both chuckled a little bit. But do you know that in relationships with people, it means something to be accepted? There are people that if they say, I'll accept you, if you do A, you can do A. And they'll say, that's not enough. Now I want you to do B. And you do B and it's still not good enough. Seems like you're always a day late and a dollar short. And there's nothing you can ever do to be accepted by them. And then there are other people that they accept you because they love you. They accept your strengths. They accept your weaknesses. They accept your faults. They accept who you are. And do you know those are the kind of people that when you get in trouble, those are the people you want to be with? Because they're not going to judge me harshly. They might judge me, but they're going to do it because of love. They're going to tell me the truth. They're going to be there, and I know at the end of the day, they're still going to love me. They're still going to care for me because I've been accepted. This morning, the Lord has accepted each and every one of us and has given us a beautiful invitation. Just as I am, the Lord says, you can come. There is no 12 months of purification with the Lord. There is no 6 months of teaching you how to beautify yourself with the Lord. Jesus came and he ministered to the poor, He ministered to the broken in spirit. He ministered to those that had been rejected by people. We read over in the book of Luke in the 5th chapter in the 31st verse when Jesus was being criticized because he was eating with the sinners, and the Pharisees were looking not with acceptance but with condemnation, and they were criticizing Jesus. And Jesus told them, he said, they that are whole need not a physician. But who? But they that are sick. And so the invitation then was, Jesus came to all those that are sick, to those that have questions, to those that have doubts, to those that have failed, to those that just feel let down by themselves and by other people. Jesus Christ came to minister to all of us at the very depth of needs that we have in our life. The scripture says that God knoweth our frame. And what does he know we are? He knows we're dust. And sometimes we look at ourselves, maybe you look at others, maybe sometimes you look at yourself and just have to shake your head. Do you know we have a God this morning that has his scepter held out, that I do not have to fear to come into the presence of my God. I don't have to wait 12 months. I don't have to wait till I can get as strong and as beautiful or cover up my blemishes as much as possible to come into the presence of my God. But he has a scepter held out for anybody that has a need, for anybody that has a problem. He's there with his arms open, with a scepter held out to accept us, to minister to us in the depth of our need. Would you turn to 358, please? And before we go further in this message, I will just say that it's what the Lord gave me to preach today. And the Lord may give me something very similar to preach in another venue. And if he does and you're there, you just pray for it. Let's sing verse 1 of 358. And as we sing this song, I want you to really think about what these words are saying. Was not 12 months of purification. There was not 6 months of bathing in oil. But the invitation of this song said, just as I am, just like we are this morning, what makes us who we are? The past, history that you might be ashamed of, broken vows and disappointments, as one song says. With who you are, the songwriter said, just as I am, without one plea, without an excuse, without any justification, without any argument, Lord, just like I am, I'm going to come into your presence without one plea, but this one plea. There is one thing I'm going to plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Lord, I don't come with any excuse. I come, whether it be my rags or in my nicest clothes, Lord, I'm going to come like I am, and all I have to do is plead the mercy of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the scepter was extended with an invitation to just come to the Lord. The songwriter, Charlotte Elliott, was at age 32, suffered a serious illness.
And she was left a semi-invalid for the rest of her life. And it caused depression in her. Within 1 year, she experienced from that time a great severe spiritual crisis. And 12 years earlier, there was a time that she was, it sounded just from what I read from different sources, that she may have not been ready to meet the Lord. And Swiss evangelist Caesar Milan was visiting her family, and they were sitting at dinner, and he turned to her and he said, are you a Christian? And she said, I don't want to address that question. I don't want to answer that. She was offended by it. And he said, well, I'm sorry if I offended you. He said, I try to speak a word for the Master wherever I go. It was just a few weeks later, the Lord used that question and had been dealing with her heart. And she went back and she asked this man, she said, I don't know how to come to Jesus. I don't know how to come to God. I don't know how to approach the presence. I couldn't help but think of Esther. How do I come into the presence of the King, knowing that I could be put to death? And Milan told her, he said, and these words have become very famous, he said, come to him just as you are. This morning, sometimes we wonder, how can I bring my needs and my problems, whether you're saved or whether you're not, how do I come into the presence of God? And the answer still remains the same this morning, just come as you are. She gave her heart to the Lord. So one night, she was struggling. Her brother was also a minister, and they were having a fundraiser to raise money for a school, for a college that was going to allow ministers' children to come. And all of her family and friends were active out working and doing, and she was laying there unable to be a help and a service. And as she struggled with depression anyway, she fought a real spiritual battle that night, wondering, what's the use? I can't do anything. And that turned, as you all know, when you have a spiritual battle, one thought from the enemy turns into bigger thoughts until pretty soon, and I wrote it down, it said her doubts became a spiritual conflict until she questioned the reality of her whole spiritual life and just wondered whether it was anything more than just an illusion of emotions, an illusion ready to be sorrowfully dispelled. In other words, y'all ever been there? Am I really saved? Is there even anything to this? Maybe this is just something that's emotional and something I've given myself to. Maybe there's nothing to this. And she had a real battle. The next morning, she laid on the sofa. The troubles of the night came back to her with such a force that she knew that she needed to meet those troubles head on and conquer them by the grace of God. And so, and I'm going to read here from the Lutheran Hymnal Handbook, it said, she gathered up her soul and the grand certainties, not of her emotions, but of her salvation, her Lord, His power, and His promise. And she took up pen and paper, and she wrote the words to this song that we now sing, Just As I Am. That has been a call to millions of people to come to the Lord. Lord, just as I am, I come. Not because I have power to be out helping in the work of God. Not because I can be out raising funds for a good cause. She lay there an invalid. But Lord, I come to you pleading only the blood of Jesus Christ. And with that assurance, I can come in to the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with assurance, knowing that He's going to accept me for who I am. Charlotte Elliott wrote over 150 hymns. I think it's noteworthy that some of, it seems like, our greatest songs are written by those who have suffered the most. She wrote this hymn. Many of her songs dealt with, you can see the pain and the suffering through the songs. But it was a song of invitation, a song of acceptance. And there were 6 verses originally published. There are 5 in our book. And I'm going to touch on the one that's missing here in a few minutes. And then there was a seventh verse that she added within a year of the writing of that poem. It was first published in a book, in a book of hymns, and with it was quoted the scripture in John chapter 6. I like us to turn and read John chapter 6, verse 37.
Jesus was speaking and he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." It does not matter. I wish the chapel were full this morning. It does not matter how bad of a mess that people have made in their lives. It does not matter the mistakes, the willful transgression and sin that has caused havoc in families, in the world over. If we come to the one that died on the cross and shed his blood, he said, "I will in no wise cast you out." So there's hope for the sinner, and there is hope for us today, that sometimes do not all of us still go through crises of faith, where we ask ourselves the same thing, is this even real? I will acknowledge I've asked myself that before. Is this real? It was the devil trying my faith. But I have found the reality to the acceptance of one that is bigger than myself. I found it works. I found that it's real. I will by no means thrust you out of the door. When you come into the presence of the King, you're not going to be put to death. You may not look as beautiful as the person looking next to you, or may not look as righteous, or your past may not be as clean, or you may not be as talented. Those things don't matter to the Lord. What matters to the Lord is that you had the courage and the humility to come into His presence. And Jesus said, "I will in no wise cast you out." The analogy that Jesus was making was of a poor man in need going to the home of a nobleman or of a rich man seeking for help. And can you imagine if you had nowhere else to turn and you were destitute and you went to the home of the nobility and you knocked on the door standing there in your rags, knowing most likely that you would be told to leave. And the servant of the master opening the door and saying, "Wait here while I go get the master." And the master coming in and embracing you and inviting you in to come and sit down at the table with the family, and gave you everything you needed and welcomed you and accepted you. You know, acceptance is something, and this is a whole nother message that maybe the Lord will have us visit another day. There's something to be said about acceptance of each other. Remember a woman, that young woman that was raised among us? She went the way of sin. She came back around every once in a while, and I remember her, we heard through a family member to my wife and I, she said that when she came, that she felt like we accepted her. She knew that we didn't agree with her lifestyle. She knew we didn't agree with what she'd done. But there was something in just knowing there's somebody that still loves me. There's someone that cares about me. Just because we accept doesn't mean, do you know Jesus accepts us? And then He's there to begin to beautify us with His salvation. It's not in what we can do for ourselves. It's not, I had another man, someone that I love. His wife told us one day that there were some people that he always felt a little uncomfortable around because of what he did in life, and felt like he was always, there were those that kind of looked down their nose at him. And it meant a lot to me to know that he said he didn't ever feel that from me. You know, that made me want to do just that much more. I want him to know I love him and I care about him and I don't look down my spiritual nose at him. Do you know this morning that it means something when we can do that with each other? But it means something when we come into the presence of God broken. Broken. And I wish the sinners the world over would know this morning that there is hope in Jesus Christ, that He accepts us, that He receives us into His arms, not to leave us destitute, but we can come into the presence of God knowing He will in no wise cast us out, but He'll forgive us and accept us and bring us into the family, and then He'll begin to provide for us what we need so we don't stay in that destitute place. You know how nervous it must have been for someone destitute to stand at the door and ask for help with the rich man? You know, sometimes we start maybe feeling a little bit nervous and uncomfortable, and sometimes we hold things on ourselves that God does not hold. I do not know what everybody's struggling with this morning, but I know this. We have a Savior that has invited us to come into His presence without having to make excuses. But Lord, I just need to get close to You, and I'm just coming like I am, my faults and my problems. And the Lord said, oh, thank You for coming. Welcome home. Welcome into My presence. You remember the prodigal son when he left father's house and he went and he ended up in the pig pen of sin? And the scripture said over in the book of Luke, it said when he came to himself, what did he remember? Remembered father's house. When he came to himself, he remembered how much his father really did love him. But you know, there must have been, he said, I will arise and go to my father's house and just ask him if he'll at least just let me be a servant. You know, he must have had some real trepidation in doing that as well. Because do you know this boy had the stench of the pig dung on him? He was malnourished. His hair was greasy and uncombed and uncut. And he was dirty and he smelled and he was in rags because he had wasted everything his father had given to him. And I can just see him as he got closer, maybe as he got closer to home, I don't know, you could make a case that he started going faster. You could make a real case that his steps got a little bit slower. Do I do this or not? But his father saw him a great way off, and his father went running, and he put his arms around him. He put the scepter out. Welcome home, son. He accepted him. The adulterous woman that was brought to Jesus by force, the words of Christ were, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. Let's sing verse 2. Think about the prodigal son. I'm not going to wait any longer. He arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, welcomed him home. Peter, who had failed the Lord so miserably, Peter, we could say about Peter, he should have known better. My question is, have any of us ever done anything that we should have known better? All I can say is, he that is without sin cast the first stone. But yet Peter went out and he wept bitterly to come back into the presence of God, that all of the doubts and the questions and the fears and the strongholds that were there, think about the thief on the cross that said, talking to Jesus, Lord, remember me this day when thou enterest into thy kingdom. Lord, remember me. Don't forget me. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The strongholds, the barriers that life brings in sin and out of sin, there are barriers and strongholds that began, walls that began to get built in our life. But let's sing verses 3 and 4 of this song.
No, there's a place of healing. Thankful the list didn't end with Peter and with the thief on the cross. My name was right on that list. All of us, all the pain, the brokenness, the sin, places we need healing in the mind. We can just come with our brokenness. The Lord accepts us. This is a song of acceptance, just as you are. Lord will welcome, cleanse, relieve. Why is it? Because of thy promise, I believe. Not because of what I'm doing. Not because of what I've done, but Lord, I'm going to believe in your promise and faith. That's the reason we can come into the presence of God this morning. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Folks, I hope as a people, as saints of God this morning, I hope that we never, ever, ever forget the reality of that message. We are not saved because I have been so good. We are not saved this morning because I dress so modestly, or because I don't go here, or because I don't go there. Those are just some of the fruits that come out of a life of salvation. But the reason that I am saved is for no other cause or reason except the gift that God gave to me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we begin to question, and we begin to struggle with doubts, just like Charlotte Elliott did when she wrote this song. She was saved, but she was struggling with confusion and doubts and fears. She wrote another verse. It's actually the third verse of the poem that she wrote. I can make some assumptions of why it's not in our book. Maybe it wasn't spiritual enough. I don't know. But I want to read to you what it said. "Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come." Lord, I don't understand it all. I don't know all the whys or the wherefores. And do you know this morning there are still things today that I don't understand at all. There are things, there are people, there are situations that I do not know and I do not understand. But she was wrestling with that and she wrote this and she said, "Just as I am though, I'm going to come to the Lord." You know what a peace that gives me this morning? You know, sometimes with each other, and it shouldn't be this way, but it is, that usually we all have a certain amount of guard up, don't we? Isn't that true? That we have a measure of, that there's a measure of self-protectiveness. And some of that is good. Some of that is good, some of it's not. But you know, it gives me courage to know that there is someone that I can go to. The King, that I can go to just like I am. I can pour out my heart. I can share my questions, my failures, the things I don't understand, and I can just pour out my heart, and I can know at the end of my heart, He still accepts me.
and he still loves me. And this is the reason why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All we have to do is come. All we have to do is say, I'm going to come into the presence of the King, and I can know that he loves me, he cares for me, and he accepts me. We're not going to focus on it this morning, but I do want to add this, that if we don't come into the presence of the King, or there's going to be a day that all of us are going to be called to stand before the Lord. And I can't help but think of the man that came without his wedding garment on. And the master of the wedding came and he said, Friend, why aren't you wearing a wedding garment? And it wasn't because the man couldn't afford it, because the custom of the time was the master of the feast provided the garments. When you came into the wedding, they gave you the garments to wear. And this man had chosen not to. And it said the man was speechless. And I think about all of those that are rejecting the call of the Lord to come. And there's going to be a day that they're going to be speechless. Because there's no excuse. I didn't have to provide my own wedding garment. I didn't have to have the strength to overcome that in my own power. But Jesus said, I can just come and I won't cast you out. There's not going to be any excuse or anybody to blame. And I'm going to say to saints this morning, I wish the room was full of sinners. But you're here this morning and I'm here, and so that means this for us. We're not going to have any excuses when we get to the end, because the Lord's invitation will just come to me. You have a problem, if you're struggling, just come to me. And we'll close over in Revelation chapter 22. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. See, that's the invitation of the Spirit and the Bride. Just come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I have tasted of the water of life this morning, but I am so thankful that there is still an invitation, that in my needs and in my problems and my questions, the invitation is still there. If you're thirsty, you can dip back in and you can take another drink. So this morning, in the fear and in the love of God, I want each one of you to know that you are accepted to the Lord. His scepter is out to you this morning. And if you have ever felt rejection, Jesus also knew what that was like. And so he knows how to receive those that feel rejected. He has accepted you this morning. The Lord loves you. You young people and children, sometimes you may feel like that you're misunderstood, and maybe you are, or maybe you're not. I guess I shouldn't just say that to the young people. Older folks, sometimes you may feel misunderstood and sometimes you are. But the Lord accepts you this morning. And there is an open invitation to all of us this morning in this service, but when you go home and next week and in the middle of the week, there's an open invitation to just come and be yourself. And just come like you are to the Lord, and he'll minister to you.